Well, good morning. We are so happy that you're able to join us for this live stream service. And it's so good to be connected together in this way this morning. I have to give you a hug. It's going to be a virtual hug, but I have to give you a hug because it's been a long time. So come on in. Give me it.
That's the way.
Nice. Now, that doesn't replace a real hug, I know, but it's nice to have that hug, even if it's online. Well, it's feeling like spring today, isn't it? It's not sunny, but we're getting some beautiful rain and some mild temperatures, and we know that very soon the crocuses will be coming up and all the flowers that follow that, and that gives us hope that there are good things in the days ahead. And we really need that hope now, don't we? We're really happy that we've been able to do various ministries over the last couple weeks. Catherine Brown, our Minister of Pastoral Care, has been very busy doing all the things that she does with her team of people. They have been making lots of phone calls and delivering food and other things, and they're even sewing gowns for the hospice, if you can believe that. So we're thrilled about that. We're thrilled that Julia Sheffield, who is our Youth and Family Ministries person, has been able to carry on a lot of her ministry with kids and youth online. And I know that some of you watching today will be people who have been able to do that with her. There's some thunder. Wow. Now, I don't know if you got that from where you are, but we just had a big crack of thunder over us. Wow. Happy spring. So we're happy that Julie's been able to do that too. And what we'll do for about a half an hour is we're going to have some prayer. We'll have a reading from the Bible. We'll sing some songs with you, a couple of new songs, and a great old classic hymn. And then we'll share a message together that we hope is of some help to you. So as we continue, we're going to sing a song that I think many of you watching will know. This is a song called Lord, I Need You. Let's sing this together.
Where you are.
from wherever you're watching from, let's join together and have a prayer together. So let's pray. God, what a week it's been for us. It's good to be able to gather together, even in this way that is not so usual for us. But we know we are together here. We know that when the presence of your Spirit comes into wherever we worship, we become one thing. God, on this day, we remember that there is only one faith, only one hope, and only one God of all. And we thank you for that unity. And we thank you for that connectedness. God, on this morning, open our eyes and open our hearts that we might see your will, that we might know what you would have us be and do in these times that are difficult. God, inspire us as we worship together, that we might find ways to go out and love our neighbor as Jesus did. God, thank you for this time, and bless us. May what we do here be according to your will. In his name we pray. Amen. Wow, we're excited because we are going to reveal something now. Now, if you have kids, and some of those kids go to this church and they know what we do, we have something that we're going to reveal that we have never revealed before. This is brand new. First time ever on this platform. Here we go.
It is online only right now, and camper registration will start tomorrow, and camper families should receive an email tomorrow with a link. Anybody who hasn't joined us before can go to our website, and both of those sign up and registration forms are there, and I look forward to seeing you soon. I guess I should let the live stream service go full steam ahead.
Best weeks ever. It's in July, and for many, I think we're into our 25th year of UBC, and we have 180 kids that come. So thank you, Julia, and we are looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Ian is here. Welcome, Ian.
Thank you.
Ian's going to share a song called Kindness.
Yeah, we've played this song a few times in church, and it's a really great song. It's by an artist, Ryan Adams, and one of my favorite songs, and it's really just about being kind to your neighbor, and it's a message that's applicable to any day, but especially with what's going on in the world today. So yeah, this is Kindness. Hope you enjoy it.
Kindness, don't make
reading from the Bible. This is a part of the Bible that we call the Gospel. It's in the New Testament. And this is from the book of Mark in chapter 12. If you had to boil down the message of Jesus, this would be it. This is just a short passage. There's a theologian named Dietrich Bonhoeffer who was executed by the Nazis because he was conspiring to assassinate Hitler. And on the night before his execution, the guards were kind of making fun of him, and they said, "What is your faith do for you now?" And Bonhoeffer said, "Jesus loves me, this I know." That's how he boiled it down. Well, this is how Mark boils down the message of Jesus, just in this short passage from Mark 12. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. People were debating with Jesus. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked Jesus, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O people, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but Him. To love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and then to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than anything else we could ever do." Then Jesus saw that he had answered wisely. And Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Well, in our church tradition, after reading, we say, "This is the word of the Lord," and the people say, "Thanks be to God." We have never seen days like this, any of us, have we? So I'm just going to make this really simple this morning, and I hope this will be a call to you, I think it will. I just want to give you one word this morning. Just one word. And this word describes what God does with pain and hardship. There's one word. And this word is the fulfillment of a promise that God makes to all of us. Promises are important in our lives. If someone you love and trust gives you a promise, it's like an anchor. And we need anchors in our lives. I remember when I was a kid and I was scared of something. Maybe it was something in the closet or something at school or a scary movie that I saw. I remember lying in bed and my mother would come in and she'd sit on the edge of the bed and she'd say, "Tim, I'm going to promise you something. Everything's going to be okay. And I will never leave your side." That's what she said to an 80-year-old Tim. And it was all good from there, because that's all I needed to hear was a promise from someone I loved and trusted. There's promises we get in this place that come out of the pages of Scripture. Here's a promise. The end of this life is not the end of life at all. How's that for a promise? It's what people of faith believe. I mean, when you look up at the stars, you can't look at the stars tonight because it's going to be cloudy. But when you look at the stars on a clear night, you see infinity. And your brain can't even understand what infinity is, but you know it's real because you're looking at it. Jesus talked about heaven all the time. Jesus compared heaven, listen to this, I don't know. Jesus compared heaven to a wedding banquet. Now, our son Ian, who just sang, and his fiancée Leanne are being married in June the 20th. They're still hopeful that's going to happen. So we were talking about the wedding and just the excitement of sitting at a banquet table that's just overflowing with abundance. That's what Jesus compared heaven to. When I think about heaven, I think about a table. And I imagine people that I'm going to be sitting at that table with. I'm going to sit at that table again with Mark Spencer. Mark Spencer was a teacher, a music teacher, a gifted man that died way too young. He's going to be at that table. I'm going to sit with him and talk with him again in heaven. I'm going to sit at that table with Pierre. Pierre was my brother's best friend. He died when he was 16 years old of pneumonia. Broke my brother's heart. Pierre's going to be at that table. I'm going to see him again. I'm going to meet people that I've never met before. The Apostle Paul is going to be at that table in heaven. Man, I'm such an admirer of that man. A builder of churches, but yet the most humble person you could ever imagine. A person who said, why can't I do the good I want to do? He's going to be at that table in heaven when I got to meet him. I'm going to meet my grandfather. I've never met my grandfather. He died in 1945. He was a minister, a Presbyterian minister, immigrating from Scotland. He was a minister in Victoria, B.C. during the First World War. I can't imagine how many young men he had to bury. Because he's going to be at that table, I'm going to meet him. He's taking bowls of cigarettes. I can't wait to meet him. Hank will be there under the table. Let me explain under the table. Hank was a dog. We had to put Hank down last summer, but Hank's dish is going to be under that table. We'll see him again. Because you can rest assured all dogs do go to heaven. I don't see a cat bowl under that table. Now, I'm not saying, I don't know. Maybe cats do go to heaven, I don't know. Heaven's real. It sure was for Jesus. But heaven is not the word I want to give you today. Here's another promise, that God is with us. That's what we remember at Christmas time. The word Emmanuel is an ancient Hebrew word that means God with us. And we remember at Christmas that Jesus was born into the world and became God in human flesh. And we remember that he was born not in a palace, not with wealthy people who were leaders. He was born in a barn so that we could know that we are in the humblest places of our lives. God has been there. God is with us. When Jesus died on the cross, it was the most horrific death. And so much of that is about when you are suffering. And many of you are now watching this in these times we're living in. You need to know that Jesus knows your suffering. Because Jesus has been there. God is with us. And then when Jesus left this earth, he promised the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit remains with us now. Jesus called that Holy Spirit our helper. Anybody need a little help today? There is this presence that is with you, that will help you. It's the very same Spirit that hovered over the face of the waters in Genesis chapter 1 before anything is created. It's the very same Spirit that led Moses and the people of Israel to the parted waters of the Red Sea. You know that story? Man, it took them 40 years, but they finally made it to the promised land. It's the same Spirit that is with us today. Jesus himself relied on that Spirit. When Jesus was in the wilderness, tempted by a voice that asked him not to accept this mission, the Spirit gave him strength. The Spirit is with us. The Spirit will help you. Ask for that help. But the Holy Spirit is not the word I want to leave you with today. Here's another promise. God has his hands on you. If you allow God to put his hands on you. And God's hands on you will help you and heal you and make you into something new. Kimberly hurt her shoulder a couple days ago, raking. She was out all day raking. She overdid it, hurt her shoulder. And she asked me to rub her shoulder for her. So I put my hand on her shoulder and I'm no professional, but I did some massaging and I found the spot and I pressed it and her shoulder was a little bit better after that. She trusted me to put my hand on her. God wants to have his hands on you. This is a promise. It's like the potter and the clay from ancient, like 800 years before Jesus, there is this image of a potter and a clay. And God's the potter and we're the clay. And God just wants to have his hands on you and make you into something new and beautiful. Like, you know the Spirit that hovered in Genesis 1? A few verses later, it says that Spirit started to create. It created the heavens, it created the firmament, it created the beasts in the water. You know that story. That same Spirit will create in you. When you're feeling like dead inside and nothing could ever be new again, that Spirit will get His hands on you and create new things in you. But that's not the word that I wanted to give you this morning. God's hands. Another promise is prayer. I've been sending out all week blogs about prayer. I've been posting a few sermons I've done on prayer. Jesus prayed every day. Prayer was so important to Jesus, and he taught his disciples because they saw him praying. They saw prayer transforming him, and they said, Jesus, teach us to pray as you pray. But prayer is not the word I want to give you this morning. There is a promise that when love is shared, miracles happen. If I could sum up who Jesus is in one sentence, here's what I would say. When love is shared, miracles happen. Jesus' whole life was about that. Like, that's what the miracle stories in the Gospels are about. Jesus would stop and talk to somebody nobody else would talk to. And he would call that person by name, and he would tell that person that they belong to God. And then healing happened. It happened over and over and over. People would come to Jesus for help, and the disciples said, we don't have any time for that person. And they just wanted to keep walking, and Jesus would stop. He'd talk to that person. He'd put his hand on them, and no one else would put their hand on them. When love is shared, miracles happen. And it happens today as well. You all know the reality of that. I remember delivering, just last Christmas, a Christmas hamper. We in this church have a program where we deliver Christmas hampers to people, and many churches do. And I can remember, my favorite part of that whole program is just delivering them to people. And to see how that gift changes a person. And I remember going, it was at night, and I couldn't find this apartment, and I finally found it was kind of behind a store, and I had to walk down a dark alley, and then there were stairs that went up, it was like a three-story walk-up, and I finally found the apartment number 4, it said, and I knocked on the door, and the door opened, and I'm standing here with all these parcels, and presents wrapped up beautiful, and the door opens, and it's a woman, maybe 19 years old. And she's got 3 kids hanging on her legs. And she heard her face just lit up. And she said, I can't tell you how much this helps. This has saved my family. When love is shared, miracles happen. Like dead dreams, dead hopes become new again. And what better opportunity in these days that we're living now to start figuring out how ways we can share love. Like, you pick up the phone and talk to someone who's self-isolated. And I guarantee you, in that sharing of that love, a miracle will happen in that person's life because there'll be some rebornness in that act. Delivering food, whatever it is we can do for people. That's a promise that we share today. When love is shared, miracles happen. But that's not the word I want to give you. The word miracle. Here's the word I want to give you, and it comes out of a verse that you know. This verse is from Romans chapter 8, written by Paul. I talked about him before. He's one of the guys at the table that I'm looking forward to meeting. And Paul was talking to a group of people in a little church in the city of Rome, and they were really struggling. And Paul reminded them that the Spirit will always be with them. And Paul reminded them that there's nothing that can separate them from the love of God. And then Paul said this. Paul said, there is something that is good that will come out of whatever struggle you are in. All things, struggle, will be transformed into something good. All things, here's the words that you know. All things work together for good for those who place their trust in God. That's an amazing thing. And we see this already. Here's the word I'm going to give you just a second. We see this already. That God somehow has his hands on hardship
and takes the fabric of that hardship and weaves it somehow into something good and beautiful. Now, please understand, this is so important to know that God doesn't create the hardship. This virus that we're all living within, God didn't create that, but God can take it and make it into something beautiful. All things work together for good. Now, we've seen this already in our world, and here's the word that I just want you to take with you today. And remember, if you just remember one word from what I say, and this is the word, solidarity. That's what we've seen, isn't it? Right? We have seen out of disease the unification of a whole world. That's amazing. I have never seen that in my lifetime. I watched a documentary about 33 miners in the country of Chile that were trapped underneath the ground for 69 days. Do you remember that? It was in the summer of 2010. You might remember. 33 miners trapped like a kilometer underground. And they knew they were alive because they could talk to them, but they couldn't find any way to get down to them. And they drilled a little hole and they were able to get food down and they were able to keep the miners alive. And it took them forever, but what they did was they drilled a hole about this big all the way down to where the miners were, and then they had a cage that they put down into that hole and they took the miners up one by one. Do you remember that? One man by one man. And all the families, like for 69 days, were all standing around that hole waiting. Can you imagine? Here's the image that I'll never forget from that event. And the documentary I watched reminded me of it. This elderly father, he's an old man, in his 80s. His son was one of the miners. And he waited for 69 days for those rescuers to pull his son up. But while he was waiting, there were letters from all around the world that people were writing him, just urging him on, encouraging him. And there was this one letter from a girl in Toronto that she had colored a picture. And they held it up on TV, and you could see in her picture the CN Tower in the background, and it said on the bottom, "We're praying for you." And that father said to a reporter, he said this, "I am so changed by the solidarity of the world." One word, solidarity. We recognize when someone's hurting, especially when their children are hurting or their children are in danger. We recognize the love a parent has for those children. And it brings us together, that love. It brings the whole world together. That's the solidarity of the world. And so, on this day, in the face of COVID-19 that we're all going through, there is a solidarity that the whole world shares now that I've never seen in my whole lifetime. The whole world is fighting the same battle together. And think about this. Countries and people that were fighting each other just a couple months ago have laid all those weapons down. And the whole world together now is picking up weapons of love your neighbor and weapons of health care. And we're all fighting together this battle. We're picking up weapons of compassion and weapons of scientific research and weapons of prayers of hope. And we're all in that together. We're fighting shoulder to shoulder. Jesus was all about solidarity. Jesus sought his whole life to bring people together. Jesus died for solidarity. And now we're seeing it in the world that this disease is somehow being woven into something that's healing. Now we see in Europe, people on their rooftops and balconies singing across courtyards to each other. We see political dissension has morphed into a bipartisanship that I've never seen in my whole life. Out of disease comes something good. Solidarity. Please know that something good is in the works. Please know that God's hands on this. please know that this virus is being reshaped into something that won't any longer make us sick, but something that might very well heal all of us. That's what God does. That's what love does. This is what we believe as Christ followers. All of us.
So good to have you join us here. We're all happy to help out. We're going to sing another song with you, and we'll end our time with you with this song. I promised you an old classic. This is a song that I remember from an album my mom had when I was just a little boy. And it was a Johnny Cash record. And I remember Johnny Cash singing this song. And you all know it. So from where you are, we hope that you can sing along with us. This is the old wedding cross.
The end of our suffering is achieved.
Let's join in prayer. God, thank you for this time together. We pray for all of us in this struggle. God, particularly we pray for healthcare workers. And God, we know there's a lot of people that are doing a lot of things to help, but we just think in particular this morning of people who are on those front lines, in hospitals, risking their own lives, nurses that are helping people outside of hospitals and doctors. God, we pray for them, and we ask that they could be given strength and hope in this very difficult time. God, help us to be able to identify ways we might be able to be of help to them. God, for anybody who's sick today, our prayers, our hearts, and our love is with them. For anybody lonely today who just hasn't had human contact in a long time, God, be with them. Help us to know that your hand is in all of this, and it won't be long before we're all together again. In Jesus' name, amen. I do want to thank Reg Sheffield for hooking us up with the live feed. And as we go now, the benediction is, we go now in the power of the Spirit of God. May the Spirit that walks beside us and comes up alongside us give us peace in these difficult days, both now and forevermore. Amen. We will see you soon.